Agora o Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 9, text number 28. And today's topic will be entitled The Real Spider-Man. Who is the real Spider-Man? So, Kridasi Amogha Sankalpa. Kridasi Amogha Sankalpa. Urna Nabir Yatornute. Urnanabir Yatornute. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Manisham Mai Madhava. Kridasi Amogha Sankalpa. Urnanabir Yatornute. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Manisham Mai Madhava. Kridasi Amogha Sankalpa. Urna Nabir Yatornute. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Manisam Mai Madhava. Vaishnavis. Kridasya Amogha Sankalpa. Urnanabir Yatornute. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Manisham Mai Madhava. Kridasya Amogha Sankalpa. Urnanabir Yatornute. Tata Tad Visayam Dehi. Maisam Mai Madhava. Kridasi. As you play. Amogha. Infallible. Sankalpa. Determination. Urnanabi. The spider. Yata. As much as. Urnute. Covers. Tata. So and so. Tat Visayam. In the subject of all those. Dehi. Do let me know. Manisham. Philosophically. Mai. unto me, Madhava, O Master of all energies. Translation. O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. Please repeat. O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. Purport. By the inconceivable energy of the Lord, every creative element has its own potencies, known as the potency of the element. Potency of knowledge and potency of different actions and reactions. By a combination of such potencies of the Lord, there is the manifestation of creation, maintenance, and annihilation in due course of time. And by different agents like Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Lord Shiva destroys. But all such agents and creative energies are emanations from the Lord. And as such, there is nothing except the Lord, or the one supreme source of different diversities. The exact example is the spider and the spider's web. The web is created by the spider, and it is maintained by the spider. And as soon as the spider likes, the whole thing is wound up within the spider. The spider is covered within the web. If an insignificant spider is so powerful as to act according to his will, why can't the Supreme Being act by his supreme will in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestations? By the grace of the Lord, a devotee like Brahma, or one in his chain of disciplic succession, can understand the Almighty Personality of Godhead, eternally engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the region of different energies. Wow, so talk about inconceivable energies. I like to just refer to this spider. This is just one of the creations of Krishna. He's talking about all his different energies are empowered with certain potencies that he has given them. This is a triangle weaver spider. And what it does, talking about a web, it uses its web like a catapult or like a slingshot and or like a crossbow. And he winds up his web, and then when his prey comes by, he lets go and it captures his prey. So just see the intelligence in nature. And then talking about spiders, another spider. This one can fly very long distances simply by releasing long strands of silk. And they get picked up by the wind. And these are actually studied by different biologists and things. So what he does is he rides on a balloon of silk. And they're propelled more than just the wind. Actually, there's electrostatic forces in nature that can lift it up. And it makes it go very long distances. It could go for up to 2 miles up in the air, in the sky. And it could go, they land on ships in the middle of the ocean. And they're the first spiders to colonize. Like if there's a new island created from a volcano, they're the first ones to enter that island. And then one more spider. This is the Phidippus audax. And he has a different spidey sense. So we know spiders, they can jump, they have exceptional vision, and they can perceive vibrations. But this one, it can actually hear, like within 10 feet of its where it is. So this is very interesting. So you can see all the little hairs on his body. Krishna created this so in such a way he could pick up vibrations, different types of vibrations. So, who's the real Spider-Man first? Narada Muni thought Lord Brahma was the original Spider-Man. He said, you're like a spider in the fifth chapter of this canto we're reading. He said, as a spider can easily create a network of its cobweb and manifest its power of creation without being defeated by others, so also you yourself, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create with the help, without the help of others. So Narada Muni was like, hey, you're a spider, man. But then, actually, Narada, see, he compared him to that self-sufficient spider, which creates his own field of activities without anybody's help, just by saliva. But in that same chapter, Lord Brahma says, he was very inspired by this. He said, whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any source other than that of your lordship, thou so great. So this is what Narada Muni is thinking of Lord Brahma. He's thinking that he is the great Lord. He's creating all these 8,400,000 species of life, some inferior, some superior. So it's so many varieties, good and bad, in the material world. And then he continues to say, whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristic, and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, equal, eternal, temporary, is not created by any other source than your lordship, thou so great. So he's thinking he's so great. But here Lord Brahma replies to his son and says, actually, my dear Narada, you're being merciful to me. You've asked these questions, and because I've been inspired by those questions to see the prowess of the Almighty Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's congratulated by Lord Brahma, saying that, you know, you've made me very enthusiastic because now I could think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the actual Spider-Man. So he says, he confirmed with, because Narada Muni was thinking that there must be somebody greater than you because I see you're worshiping somebody. So Lord Brahma replies that whatever you've spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. So we see something so powerful, you know, and we become illusioned. We think, wow, it's so powerful. We see even like some living entities, like some types of humans, they worship other things in nature because they're enamored by it, they're illusioned by it, and they think that's superior. But Lord Brahma, in creating his web of creation, he still needs help from the Supreme Spider. And this shows he was creating these illusory things and demons, and they began to attack him. And he needed help from the Supreme Lord to protect him. So even though we may see how powerful he is, but yet still he is controlled and assisted and helped by the Supreme Lord. Here's a nice verse from the 11th canto, which relates to our verse today. It goes, the Lord of the universe, Narayan, is the worshipable God of all living entities. Without extraneous assistance, the Lord creates this universe by his own potency. And at the time of annihilation, the Lord destroys the universe through his personal expansion of time and withdraws all the cosmos, including all the conditioned living entities, within himself. Thus, his unlimited self is the shelter and reservoir of all potencies. The subtle pradhana, the basis of all cosmic manifestation, is conserved within the Lord and is in this way not different from him. In the aftermath of annihilation, the Lord stands alone. So we see this, and then he continues in this chapter. He talks about this spider. But here, the devotees of Srila Prabhupada explains this word eka in the verse. And it means one alone. And it's mentioned twice in the verse to emphasize that it's only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that all universal affairs as well as spiritual pastimes are conducted by his potency alone. So according to the Brahma Samhita, these innumerable worlds, they rest within the Brahma Jyoti or the spiritual effulgence, which is emanating from the Lord's body. So you could just see how he's such an Ishvara, such a controller. And here's the other verse from that same chapter in the 11th canto. And this is actually where the son of Yayati, Maharaj Yadu, he was encountered by an avaduta who was traveling about here and there. And he was in great ecstasy, but he was acting unpredictably as if he's haunted by a ghost. And then the king inquired from this, you know, holy man. He said, "What is the cause of your wandering in such an ecstatic condition?" And the avaduta replied to him that he received various instructions from 24 different gurus, you know, in nature. So to mention a few, the earth, the wind, the sky, water, fire, and so on. And one of them is actually the spider. And this is the verse that he talks about that. And he gained so much from them that he was able to travel all over the earth in a liberated state. So just see, if you're very perceptive, just looking at nature and understanding how God is behind it, you could become liberated. So this is the verse. Just as from within himself, the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually swallows it. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of God, it expands his personal potency from within himself. Thus, the Lord displays the network of cosmic manifestation, utilizes it according to his purpose, and eventually withdraws it completely within himself. So just see, if you're intelligent, we can obtain spiritual knowledge even from insignificant creatures like the spider. There's another one in that chapter that talks about the wasp who terrorizes an insect in his hole. And he learned from that insect was so absorbed in his terrorizer that in that same life, he actually became a wasp. So just see how what one meditates on constantly with intensity, you can become. So this is amazing. So talk about inconceivable energies. You know, we mentioned the spiritual world. We can't even comprehend that. And the material world, the universes. But if you just go to a single cell, it's like a complex city, or more like it's like a universe, actually. And scientists still, and probably will never figure it out, or even duplicate it, even parts of it. There's one scientist, he used an example. He was a real scientist, and he said the origin of life, photocell assembly. So this is a whole society called the origin of life. They try to understand what the origin of life is. So they're trying to study a cell and try to duplicate a cell, which is living. So the processes that they're doing it is really ridiculous. And this is the example he used. He said, origin of life protocell assembly is akin to buying 20 pounds of sliced turkey meat, adding a gallon of turkey broth, warming, sticking in a few feathers, and suggesting that a live turkey will eventually come out, gobbling out if given enough time. Or that proto turkey or extant turkey has been synthesized. It's crazy. So they're just imitating. They're using Krishna's energies and trying to duplicate them and in his energy and saying that they did it. Another example used is like, we see these really nice Tesla cars, right? So they're really wonderful cars. So a guy wants to copy it. So he says, he goes out and he takes out the computer control box in it. He copies it. Everything, like, you know, data. He copies into his own inferior box. And then he puts it back into the Tesla. And then he says, "See, I made the Tesla." And what he probably did is just messed it up, you know, trying to put his inferior thing in there. So here's another scientist, he's saying, regarding the origin of information. So try to duplicate a cell. He says, critical for life is the origin of information, DNA or RNA. The information is primary and the matter secondary. So we cannot even get the matter, which is the requisite carbohydrates, the nucleic acids, lipids, and proteins, let alone the information. So in other words, you have may have all the ingredients, but how does it work? What causes it to work? What information does it use? Where does it, what's programming it? So they don't know. And it's described here that how there was a video by this scientist. He said that carbohydrates can store more information than DNA. If you take just six carbohydrates, there's 1 trillion ways that they can assemble and recognize each other. Because these cells actually communicate to each other. And they recognize each other. So like he's saying, even if you have the matter, where's the information to make it work? Even cells operate according at different times, according to different temperatures even. So how can you even control that? And the timings and the sequences, so many things like that. So we can see, we used to say that every molecule in the body changes every 7 years, but actually it's continually changing. So which body are you? What are you? Are you your body? Which one? Yesterday's body, last week's body. The body's different. It's changing. We're not the body. It's completely different. Here's another example he talks about. And he said none of these people that try to, origins of life, so-called scientists, they never bring in this concept of interactomes. So he says the non-convolutional interactive connectivity within a functioning cell. Nobody knows how viable cell emerges from the massive combinatorial complexity of its molecular components. And of course, nobody has ever synthetically mimicked it. An interactome is the whole set of molecular interactions in a particular cell. If one merely considers all protein interactome combinations in just a single yeast cell, the result is an estimated 10 to the 79th billionth combinations. So these are all the different combinations the cells make. And 10 to the 90th power is estimated to be the number of atoms in the universe. So can you imagine that? It's inconceivable, Krishna's energies, even in a cell. You can't even understand it. So just to understand numbers, just to give you a simple example. So say someone asked you a question, you say, I'll tell you in a million seconds. What's a million seconds? It's 11 days. And then if you bring it up into another magnitude, there's like three magnitudes. Okay, so I'll tell you in a billion seconds. So what is that? That's 32 years. So I'll tell you in a trillion seconds. That's 32,000 years. So I try to figure this out. There's this website you could go to. It's called Wolfram Alpha. And I put in this number, 10 to the 90th power. And this is what it gives you. And it gives you a number. It's called, have you ever heard of this number? It's a novem vigilatilin. This is the number of the atoms in the visible universe. But if you just take a cell and the combination of interactions, it's 10, what was it, to the 72nd billionth. Okay, I try to put it in this website and it just freaked out. It couldn't stop making zeros. And then at the end of all the zeros, it scrolls all the way down like I kept scrolling. And then it still says 10 to the 72nd power. It's like, it's just amazing numbers. And this is just in one cell. Inconceivable energies of Krishna. All the different combinations it could perform. So this is amazing. So just see, that's just the macro cell. What to speak of that's the micro. What to speak of the macro universe? All the inconceivable energies of Krishna. Just amazing. So just to Krishna, these universes are like a little cell. In fact, the whole material world is actually just a quarter of his energies. So just see, millions of universes emanate from his body. And that body that they're emanating from is still just an expansion of Krishna. So just as it said in the purport, by a combination of such potencies of the Lord, there is a manifestation of creation, maintenance, and annihilation in due course of time by different agents like Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. So Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Shiva destroys. But all such agents and creative energies are emanations from the Lord. And as such, there's nothing except the Lord or the one supreme source of different diversities. So we see Lord Brahma, he was born. And when he was born, he was given a chance to perform some service by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to generate species in the universe. And this universe, which we know is like a prison, it's Durga's prison, another one of Krishna's energies. For those of us who are made the wrong choice, we wanted to be loved as a god. All we want to do is serve our mind and our senses. And not only that, but to have others do the same. But Lord Brahma didn't want to wander, you know, into dumb stuff, just figuring out things on his own. He wanted clarity about who he was. What was his service? And how did he develop this clarity? By his deep reflection. He went into deep meditation. And his deep philosophical inquiries, like he's doing in this verse, from who a proper authority? You know, from the real Spider-Man. And he was in a humble mood. He was explaining, you know, asking, who am I? How are your energies working? They're so inconceivable. Why is there suffering? What is happiness? And Lord Brahma, he was willing to serve in a very practical way, so himself and others won't be trapped in this web of this material energy. So when he got his real training, you know, from his real mentor, everything was revealed to him, even the spiritual world. And then he understood his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the living entities and the spiritual world. And he also understood the goal of life. So he understood all these wonderful interactions of his energies, not only in the material world, but in the spiritual world. And the whole reason of these energies is simply to bring all the living entities closer to each other and to Krishna. And as Krishna is using these energies for creating a spiritual atmosphere, actually, for everyone. And that's why Srila Prabhupada wrote these books, for us to get deep clarity of who we are, why we're here, why we're suffering, to be aware, to be alert, to hear in the association of sincere devotees, to know what is what, so that we won't be inattentive and be trapped in this web. So there's four main areas that we should seek clarity, and which, like Lord Brahma did, to understand yourself, you know, clear on how to associate with each other, clarity on how to develop our skills, and clarity on how to develop our service mood. And we develop those how? Just like Lord Brahma, daily reflections, his deep meditation. And we should focus and record positive learnings. There's a whole, devotees are talking about, what is your Prabhupada experience? You know, like we go out on Sankirtan. Did you have a Prabhupada experience? You know, how Prabhupada, you know, we should focus and record all these positive learnings. And also study very, you know, train, study very deeply. Yeah, so we have to dive deeply in understanding what the human spirit is, develop our skills and our relationships. And then we'll see all these facilities are given to us to take up bhakti yoga. And that way we could go back home, back to Godhead. Jai. So I'd like to end there and open up for any comments, questions, or realizations. Jai. So who's the real Spider-Man? You are? No. Oh, okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
You're the real scientist.
No, I just...
The way you put it up here for us, so simple and nice.
There's scientists that are actually... The scientist that I got this information from, at the end, you know what he said? He said that we shouldn't... He quoted a verse from the Bible that said, don't believe these false prophets who claim they can understand God. You must develop faith and love in God. That's what he said.
Beautiful.
At the end
also
of his talk.
Prabhupada says, Jasmin Bhigate Sarvanedam Bhigatam Dhamatin. The one who knows Krishna knows everything.
Yeah.
So the way you put it, so nice and simple, so good. So I just want to, you inspire me to, you know, that everything you just said, that was so wonderful. And it's again, here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in the last verse of the 10th chapter says, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Satvam Srimad Urjitam Eva Va Tattar Eva Avagachatvam Mamate Yuamsa Sambhavam. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creation springs from a spark of my splendor. And Srila Prabhupada says, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence. Whether it be in the spiritual or material world, anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence.
Yeah.
And also Lord Brahma, in one of his famous verses, the Tad Brahma Nishkalamananta Nasesha Bhutan Govinda Nadi Purushanta Mahambayami. In that verse, he's saying that Krishna is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no difference between the potency and the possessor thereof. He says that in his creations of millions of worlds, he enters in each of one of the millions of universes. And then he says that every one of the atoms is scattered through the whole universe. And then at the end he says, such is my primeval world whom I adore. I like that last line.
Yeah.
Such is the primeval world who we all adore. That means include all of us. Because we also chant Brahma Sanghita in the morning here.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Krishna has such inconceivable energies. And they're fearsome and awesome and beautiful, but yet he's such a beautiful person. He's a lovable, beautiful, attractive person. So who would not want to be his friend? He's already our friend. Who would not want to love him? But it's interesting how we would want to become loved as a god or worshipped as a god. I mean, he's so attractive. That must be... So now we... So this whole Brahma is the service of creating this universe so that we can actually get reformed and go back to the spiritual world. He's our spiritual master. And we're in his sampradaya, preacher. So we should understand this philosophy and go out and try to share it and engage people. So, is there any other comments, questions, realizations? Thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.